Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We're going to reconvene the Groundfish Committee meeting. But before we slide right into discussing Framework 48, I just want to give everybody a heads up that the mayor is going to be here to speak to us in about an hour. And when he arrives, we're going to suspend our discussion to give him due time. So with that, I'm going to turn the meeting over to Tom for his presentation.
So I'm really not going to put anything up on the board for a little while to get away from the PowerPoint. I'm going to work off the PDT memo and also refer a little bit to the Framework 48 document a little bit later in the discussion. Before I get started, I just want to give everybody about a 30-second update on a group that's been formed called the Closed Area Technical Team. Under the leadership of Andy Applegate, this group has been set up to try and make progress on the groundfish issues related to the Omnibus Habitat Amendment. They will also assist with doing whatever analysis is needed for Framework 48 to make the changes we need to allow access to the groundfish closed areas through Framework 48. The group has met, I guess they've had one conference call and one meeting. They're putting together another meeting. We'll probably bring some stuff forward at our next committee meeting in October to try and give them some further guidance on the Omnibus Habitat Amendment progress. I expect that they'll get more heavily involved working with the PDT and the committee after the October meeting, probably just after we finish up with Framework 48 in November. So it's kind of a separate group from the Groundfish PDT, though there's considerable overlap. They'll be bringing stuff through the PDT to the Groundfish Committee, and you'll probably start seeing some of that maybe at the next meeting, but then probably most of it will be after the November meeting. And at that point, it'll probably move rather quickly. One thing that that group is not dealing with is those of you who are on the Scallop Committee know that there are some options that are being developed to change the dates for access into the Georges Bank access areas. That's a joint Groundfish Scallop Framework. Most of the work is being done by the Scala PDT. The Groundfish PDT is addressing that issue, not the Closed Area Technical Team. And once again, we'll probably start getting into that stuff at the October committee meeting, where we'll probably bring, we hope to bring forward some PDT recommendations. And the Groundfish Committee is going to have to develop a recommendation as well that'll be resolved at the council meeting in November. I don't know if there's any questions on those two issues. That's just kind of a very quick, dirty update.
Thanks, Tom. Any questions?
Okay, great. So I got a couple issues with respect to Framework 48, and then I thought we'd also take a little bit of time on just pointing out some of the language in the document that's changed since the last time you've seen it, just to make sure it matches. The first is that if you look at page 4 of the PDT report, there's a section labeled Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder Operating Area. So the idea arose, I think, at the Georges Bank Yellowtail Working Group, and then it came out of the June council meeting, that the council looked into redrawing the Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder Area in the sector framework. It was made clear at the council meeting this really wasn't intended to be a revision to the stock area, but the idea was that the Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder stock area includes areas where very little yellowtail flounder is caught. And the idea was, is there some way that we can incorporate those areas into management in such a way that sectors can fish there when they've either caught most or all of their Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder ace, or somehow not get charged discards in that area? So we've got a lengthy discussion paper that's attached to the PDT report. I'm not going to read the whole discussion paper. The PDT report on page 5 has a couple of bullets that kind of highlight what comes out of that discussion paper. This issue is not as easy and as straightforward as it first appears. There has been some guidance given to the sectors that talks about including in their operations plan some sort of structure of an area like this. But if people want to get into what guidance was given to the sectors, I'll turn to NIMS to describe that. But The PDT has identified a number of issues with this approach. The first is that we base discard rates on the entire stock area. So if we start to create a separate area, then the discard rates need to be stratified differently. Now, whether this is a big issue or not depends in part on how you structure the area. If the area is exactly aligned with a statistical area, it may not be too much of a problem. If the area cuts through the boundaries of a statistical area, it becomes rather more complicated because we don't necessarily have timely, precise locations of where people are catching their yellowtail flounder in order to be able to allocate the discards appropriately. Yes, we can use VMS to have some idea of where people are fishing, but this can be time-consuming. It's somewhat imperfect because while you may know where they're fishing, you don't know what they catch on any given tow in any particular area, so you don't know how to expand the discard rates. So this is kind of an issue. The other thing to keep in mind is that if you take the Georges Bank yellowtail flounder stock area and you cut out a chunk because the discards are low in that area and stratify that area separately from the other area, the discard rates in the other area are going to go up because normally these are all combined and they level out the discard rates. So if you do create this area, you can expect that the area that where yellowtail is caught, your discard rates are likely going to increase. The idea of allowing fishing to continue in this area after 100% of the Georges Bank yellowtail ace is caught, that's a little bit problematic. Most of these areas, while yellowtail catches are rare, they're not non-existent. And so if you allow fishing to go in there that's not subject to the Georges Bank yellowtail limits for a sector, you're weakening the effectiveness of the accountability measure system. Somewhat similar to this AM issue, this has implications for the U.S.-Canada understanding where there is a payback if you go over. So if people continue to fish after the ace is caught and it leads to an overage of the ACL, then there is a penalty the next year. There is a concern I think the council needs to be very careful with in going down this road. This is probably more of a concern of the service than some for many of us, is that if this is viewed as a precedent, this could create a very complicated, balkanized system of management. So, you know, if we carve out this one area because George's yellowtail flounder isn't caught in any quantities, well, you know, next week are we going to expect that someone wants to carve out an area for Cape Cod yellowtail or for pollock or something else, and you wind up making the ability to manage this program almost impossible. There's a question of somewhat of our rationale and logic that we use for approving sector exemptions. Quite often, part of the reason we approve sector exemptions is because of the logic that fishing activity and effort is limited by catching their total quota because fishing has to stop. If you remove that, well, then that's no longer a logic for some of those exemptions, and some of them may have to be revisited. So this is a thumbnail overview of what's in about a 2 or 3 page document that's attached to the PDT report that goes into these issues in more detail. The other thing the PDT notes is that, you know, within the sectors, they've already got the ability to modify their operations, to modify their sector operations rules, to take into account the differences in discard rates in different parts of the stock area. Sectors can already encourage or decide as a group that they want to fish in the area where there's low yellowtail catches or use gear that doesn't catch yellowtail flounder in order to maximize their catches of other things. And if you do it within a sector, it can be tailored to the operations of each individual sector, whereas if you do it in a framework action, then each sector is going to be bound by whatever the council decides. So in some cases, and this is mentioned in the PDT report, the PDT generally believes it's better to allow sectors to address these issues through their ops plans and their operations rather than to put something into this framework document that tries to do it for them. The one alternative that is possible, I guess, is to try and adopt a different stratification scheme for Georges Bank yellowtail flounder. If that really is going to work, it would have to line up exactly with statistical area boundaries, which, you know, is doable. But you need to recognize that if you go this route, that the discard rates in the other areas are probably going to increase unless people modify their behavior in such a way to reduce discards. So I guess the committee is really faced with a couple decisions here. The first one is that, you know, the council motion didn't really say create this alternative. It said consider creating an alternative. So the first decision really is, does the committee really want to develop an alternative in lines with the council motion? If the answer to that is yes, what do you want it to look like? Do you just want to try and create some way to stratify discards separately? Or do you want to completely modify the program so that you can get into it? So I guess those are a series of questions that the committee may need to discuss on this issue.
Laura.
Tom, I had a couple of questions. I don't understand, if we know that there aren't yellowtail in a specific area, and yet these boats are going to be charged yellowtail, how can we then say, oh, well, if we don't charge yellowtail in that particular area and we stratify it, then the discard rates are going to rise in the other areas? If the fish aren't there, we shouldn't have to count them in other areas. Either they're there or they're not there. So how can we say that we can make assumptions that they are there, but then when we've said, well, wait, maybe they're not there, we can't decide that they're not there? We can't have it both ways. So as it is, there are boats that may not be able to fish because they're going to be charged yellowtail. And you say that you can work within the sector plans, but if they can't fish an area at all, how are they able to work it in the sector plan? I just don't think it's right to be charging them discard of a fish that isn't even swimming in a specific area.
I might be able to explain this a little bit by putting a chart on the screen. Colors don't show up all that well in this room, but if you can see these, I guess they're magenta lines. These are the statistical areas. And generally speaking, the Georges Bank yellowtail flounder statistical areas are outlined by what I'm drawing here. The colors of the squares on there is basically what I've done is I've taken a couple years of observer data for trawls, and this is either just all trawls or it might include haddock separator trawls and things like that. The numbers in each box represent the number of observed tows, and the color of the box represents the ratio of yellowtail flounder to the other catch that was in that tows, all of those tows aggregated. It's not an average. And, you know, you look at it, and not too surprisingly, the red and yellow blocks are the blocks that have higher ratios of yellowtail to the other catch, and the dark green blocks are the blocks that have lower ratios. The darkest green includes some blocks that are not zero. So you notice that, if I can find my mouse again, there we go. You notice that, you know, an area up here, this magenta line does not represent a statistical area. This was an idea that I think Jim Odlin came up with as an area where we might have a Georges Bank yellowtail area. And you can see that there's a lot of dark green blocks up there. There's not a whole lot of yellowtail caught there. But there is yellowtail caught there. It's not zero. Okay? So that's part of the problem with this, is that this approach is that, you know, you would at least have to back off and say that you've got to have some ace left in order to fish in this thing. Now, the way we do discard calculations is the discard calculations are not done, generally speaking, by statistical area. They're done by stock area. So all of the trips that are in this area are pooled to all of the observed trips that are in this area are pooled together to calculate the discard rates. The reality is that, and the service can correct me if I get off base here, but the reality is that the service does not calculate discards for each individual vessel and does not actually charge discards to each individual vessel. The discards are calculated for a sector, and it's the sector's choice on how to allocate those discards internally, and I think every sector is then allocating the discards down to the individual vessel level. And so the guy who's fishing out here in the north part of Georgia's Bank Yellowtail, because of the way sectors are allocating their discards internally, is also being charged. If he lands fish, he has total catch, he's being charged discards based in part on what's caught in these other parts of Georgia's Bank. And that's how they get charged that way. I'm not sure that's really answering your question, but it does explain how this thing fits together. Now, your question was, if you could repeat it for me.
If I may. I understand it more because when it was like you were going to create more fish that didn't exist by saying that if we don't count discards in the dark green area, then we're going to have to, we thought there were fish there, and so we're not going to count those, then we're going to count them heavier against the south. And what you're saying is that there's one grand yellowtail number that's been dispersed across that entire area. So if we take it away from that, that number still needs to be accounted for somewhere, and so that those boats that are fishing below that magenta line would have a higher, potentially, if we went to zero in the dark green, they would have higher. So I think I do understand a little better.
So if I use a real simple example, I think I can illustrate this even better. If you imagine you've got two trips, and one trip up here, he doesn't catch any yellowtail flounder, and he catches 100 pounds, keeps 100 pounds of everything else. And you've got one trip down here, and he discards 50 pounds of yellowtail flounder, and he keeps 100 pounds of everything else. So when we do the discard rate, we have 50 pounds of yellowtail discards and 200 pounds of catch, total catch. I guess that works out to 0.25, I guess, I hope. So you're... Everybody else, if those were the only two observed trips, everybody else who fished out in that area would take their kept all, multiply it by 0.25, and that would be the discards of yellowtail assigned to the sector. If we now change the way we do the discards, so this guy is his own stratum. You know, everybody out that's fishing out with him would now get not charged any discards because they had zero. Everybody down here would now get their catch inflated. You know, they'd be charged 50%, right? Because there were times their total kept catch. So that's what we mean by saying that, you know, if you separate these out, that they would get, the discard rate would go higher. You're not really creating more fish. It's just getting applied a different way.
Sure.
But when we calculated the discard number for the entire area, might that number be artificially high because we're assuming that all of those trips that took place in the dark green, which is actually quite a significant part of that graph, had some yellowtail discard. So might the total yellowtail discard number be artificially high given that it appears that there are only a few hot spots of orange and yellow?
The answer to that question depends. In my simplified example is probably yes, okay? But the real answer to that question depends a lot on what your level of observer coverage is and how it is distributed throughout the area. If you have enough observed trips and they are distributed proportional to the way fishing activity takes place, then assuming there's no monitoring effect, your discard estimate should be unbiased and should be accurate. And the uncertainty around the discard estimate will depend in large measure on how many total observed trips you have, but whether it's accurate or not will depend more on whether the observed trips are representative of the fishing activity. So, as an example, if all of your observed trips were in the red squares and you had a lot of activity in the green squares, it absolutely would be a biased estimate and would be the wrong answer, and you would be overestimating discards. The reverse would be true if all of your observed trips were up in the green area and you had a lot of activity in the red area, well, then you'd have an estimate that would be biased low.
You all untangled? Okay. Tom.
I think Tom, in his comments, has pointed out appropriately that layering in, I think, vulcanized or hybrid approach, layering in effectively effort controls for targeted at one stock is only going to create problems. I do think that we have an issue, and this is, I think, what Lara was dealing with. It. We have an issue of resolution in that we have sectors being charged for fish that they're unlikely to catch on unobserved trips. And I do think that that's something that we can deal with without, you know, sort of a an inappropriate and probably ineffective response by creating a hybrid system on George's Bank that where people are fishing under ACE in some areas for most stocks, in other areas they're not fishing on ACE. I just don't think that's where we want to go. So my question, I guess, to Tom is, if we decided that we wanted to pursue a different stratification, discard stratification baseline or approach, and we wanted to go with something along the lines of stat areas or groups, smaller groups of stat areas, would that be something that the PDT would then develop, or is that simply a request to the service? I mean, the service set up the discard areas as they currently are. Would we simply, as a council, make a formal request that we wanted to revise the discard areas with this in mind and outline exactly why we do that? In my mind, it doesn't take a framework, I guess, is my or it doesn't take a regulatory action, but a request. Is that your understanding?
Well, I'm probably going to need some help from Sue here because I don't have a short answer to your question. There's a couple issues that are related. Generally speaking, and I use generally because there's one exception that I'm aware of, but generally speaking, the PDT has felt that it's important that we monitor catch and as closely as possible to the way we calculate catch for assessments, because we're trying to base all our accountability measures and our ACLs and everything on achieving a fishing mortality rate. And the way that fishing mortality rate gets measured is by the assessment. So ideally, we want to be tracking catch the same as closely as possible through catch monitoring as we do with the assessment. Now, we can never be perfect because they actually have different data streams. In the course of the fishing year, the regional office does not have all the information that the assessment scientist has 2 years later. So there are some compromises that have to be made. But we have taken the approach that on the PDT, we have argued a number of times that the discard estimation process used for quota monitoring ought to be stratified as closely as possible to the same way the assessment stratifies discards. Because if you don't, it's very possible that you're going to, it's possible if your observer coverage is not distributed correctly, it's possible you wind up getting different answers. And that, I think, is potentially a problem where either overfishing is occurring because you think it, because the assessment says it is, and you have very different numbers coming out of the quota monitoring. So, you know, our stance has been to use the assessment stratification method as the basis. There is a recent change for that that's come up, I think, with one of the yellowtail stocks, I think Southern New England yellowtail, but no, Southern New England yellowtail assessment still matches. George's yellowtail for quota monitoring is a different situation for the scallop fishery. The other problem you run into is that if this approach results in additional strata, then it's very possible that it increases the need for observer coverage. Because if you have more strata, you're going to probably need more observed trips in order to achieve the standards you want. That's not necessarily a given, because it's possible that your strata may be more homogeneous, and so that may actually narrow your CVs. But it's likely that if you increase the number of strata, you're going to need more observer coverage to meet a different standard.
Just to follow up, is it the PDT's understanding, as opposed to what we have now, is probably a fairly, I think everybody would agree, low-resolution discard strata? I mean, the highest-resolution discard strata is probably by stat area. Does the PDT see a balance point in the middle where you could create sort of a medium resolution and address or certainly not expand the observer needs, like as you would in a stat area by stat area approach, and sort of split the difference? Is that something that the PDT discussed as a possible middle way?
We haven't really discussed that, so I can't really say we've got a PDT opinion.
Yep, go ahead.
Understanding that it would require some PDT expertise, I guess I'm not entirely sure I got to the answer of whether this could be a request made with justification and explanation to the agency separate from a groundfish framework or regulatory action.
And I'm going to turn to Sue for that one.
I think we'd have to talk about it internally, but I had my hand up because I kind of wanted to take a run at what the PDT was recommending here, because I think we need to think about this a little bit more before we go down the road of making this more complex than I think it really needs to be, at least from my opinion. The sectors can do this on their own, right? Right now, they're all going to get a very low yellowtail ACE. So they're going to be wanting to avoid areas of high bycatch of yellowtail. So their discard rate should be low, once they establish this year's discard rate. Remember, as they fish, their discard rate is cumulative. So as that discard rate goes down, it is applied all the way back to the beginning of the fishing year. So even if they have a high discard rate in the month of May, by August, if they start fishing in areas with a low discard rate, that new rate, which is cumulative, starts all the way back to the beginning of the fishing year. So it keeps changing. Their discard rate keeps changing and goes down as they leave those areas. So, I was going to make a plug for why not let the sectors try to prove that they can do this. We have actually been working with the sectors. My sector team has reached out to the sector managers to provide them with information, VTR information. I'm not sure if it was 2011, but showing them where the yellowtail bycatch is high. And we got a very good reception from them. This was something that Jimmy Odlin raised at one of the committee meetings about maybe the agency could reach out to the sectors to start talking to them about this. And it was after that idea that Jimmy had come up with that area. I said to him, why not just let the sectors do this on their own? And he said, well, geez, I wasn't sure if we could do that. And when, the more he thought about it, I think if he's here, I'm not sure that he is. He seemed to think it was a good idea, and we would think it was a pretty good idea. Let them try it on their own and, work the way the sectors are designed to work rather than create a really complex system where we're starting to mess with strata and potentially, as Tom pointed out, requiring higher observer coverage rates because of that.
Tom?
My only question, and I absolutely agree with your comments that the sector should be encouraged and supported in dealing with this. I think they do have a lot of the tools that you're looking for and with some coordination can handle a big chunk of this. My only concern, though, is that within each sector, individuals have different allocations, yellowtail flounder being one of them. So while the sector is charged based on a discard rate of low resolution, let's say, across a broad strata, that's impacting individuals within that who aren't actually operating in the same way. I'm in a sector. I actually have a fair amount of yellowtail. I might be willing to go to a certain area which has higher abundance of yellowtail because I feel like I can minimize my bycatch of it, but also target healthy stocks. That's my business plan. Someone else in my sector doesn't have any yellowtail. They need opportunities to go out and harvest stocks that they have on Georgia's Bank. Because the sector is charged as a unit now by discards on unobserved trips, and let's be specific, it's the unobserved trips where you're going to get charged for something that you didn't catch. On unobserved trips, I do think that sectors will continue to run into problems unless we address the resolution of the discard strata, simply because individual vessels, businesses within that sector have different allocations, brought different ACE to the table, and likely will have different business plans in the coming years?
Yeah, I'll get to you in a while, Mary Beth. Dave, do you have a follow-up for that, Sue? Okay, Tom, then.
No, this is something I've talked with some other people before in the past. You know, the decision on how to allocate discards within a sector is up to each sector. And it's, you know, perhaps somewhat complicated, but it's entirely within a sector's ability to modify the way they're assigning discards so that the guy who's fishing in an area and who's never generating any of these discards doesn't have to be charged for them. I mean, that would be allowed under sector rules. You know, the sector as a whole gets charged the discards, but then the sector's taking that and is apportioning that down to individual vessels. And a sector could conceivably work out a way, and I know GMRI has talked to some sectors about this in the past, as could work out a way where they only attribute the sectors to the people who only attribute the discards to the vessels that are generating the discards. It's not a simple thing to do, I admit, but it's possible.
Tom.
And I would just briefly follow up, and I understand all that, but the real central problem is that the sector is being charged. And when we're dealing with numbers as low as what we're going to be dealing with on yellowtail, any sort of mistakenly or inappropriately charged fish, any fish that didn't actually come up is going to be a problem. Whether you internally put that on this account or that account or charge it to this vessel or that vessel, that is a sector decision. But I do think that the charging of allocation, the reduction in quota based on the low resolution of our strata can create problems.
Dave Gafel.
Yeah. Tom, the chart you have up here, is that 10-minute squares? The chart here, is that 10-minute squares?
Yes, I think it is.
Okay. I have issues with this whole idea. The first one is, what was the PDT thinking about in terms of strata? You say increase the number of strata, but I don't see anything that leaps off that chart to me that has discernible strata. Did the PDT have a straw man, or?
Well, our straw man has let the sectors deal with it, to be honest. But if you were talking about strata, I think the PDT would say, and this probably would not be ideal, I think this is 522. I'm having a hard time picking out the colors along this boundary. You know, we would say, if you're going to do this, do it by statistical area. And the most logical statistical area, I think, that leaps out at us would be 522 might have lower rates than the others of yellowtail catch. This is just from looking at this picture. It would probably be worth a closer look if we were going that route to make sure this is actually the case. But, you know, looking at just the colors of the blocks, I would say that, well, you know, if you pull this out, this area probably has lower yellowtail bycatch rates. Though along the boundary, you know, you're probably going to run into some yellowtail.
Well, that brings me to my second comment, which is the fact that fish distribute themselves, again, back to my original comments from this morning, based on bottom water temperature, and any chart we produce is basically only as good as the last year it came out of, and it may be totally irrelevant to the coming year. And then my last point, and the reason I have this is another question, in the PDT's report on page 14, there's a bullet here at the top of the page. It says, increasing strata could also require an increase in observer coverage to get a sufficient number of trips to meet the 30% coefficient of variance. The 30% standard is an amendment. Is that an Amendment 16 standard or an SBRM standard?
Well, I guess its status right now is somewhat in doubt. It was an SBRM standard, which, of course, that's been overturned by the court. Amendment 16 said it had to be sufficient to meet the SBRM standard. They were kind of tied together.
Okay. So that may or may not change based on the outcome of the SBRM discussions. Because the reason I make this comment is it gets to this issue of assumed discard rates. If that standard changes, let's say it's lowered as an example, it affects the assumed discard rate. So right at the moment, I tend to concur with the PDT, basically, that if the sectors want to pursue this on a sector-by-sector basis, I would suggest it's there. Let them figure out how to make it work, because I don't see how any broad-based mandate from this council or from this committee is going to impose a solution that's going to make anybody happy at all.
David.
The reason why we are addressing this issue is that the council made a motion at, back in June, for us to consider, look into redrawing that yellowtail flounder area. And the reason for this initiative, I think, primarily was Jimmy Odlin's good suggestion at the time, which has been highlighted in this figure showing the dark purple line in the northwest sector of the yellowtail flounder area. I was very open-minded on this issue, and for quite a long time I thought that this would be the way to go, that indeed we should redraw the area to provide this exclusion that we would allow sectors to fish in that area without being charged for yellowtail discards generated in other areas. I thought that was a good strategy, a good approach. But now I look at the complications provided by the PDT, and they did a good job on this. They really highlighted a number of very significant ones. The one that jumps out at me is D, on page 511D, the precedent. This change could be viewed as a precedent for similar issues with other stocks and could vastly complicate the sector program if granted, and indeed I think it would vastly complicate that sector by creating precedent. So after listening to the presentation, after reading the documents, I think that perhaps the committee should just advise the council that indeed, we did look into it, and using the plan development team guidance, specifically their listing of the complications, that we do not believe that the Georges Bank Yellowtail Flounder area should be redrawn in the sector framework. That's the conclusion I've drawn. If you'd like a motion to that effect, Mr. Chairman, I could do that. But unless someone has concluded that indeed we can do it, maybe we could just adopt that position by consensus.